This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Welcome to this special episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast. This is the Best of Star Wars in Character, Volume 3. We're about 2 weeks away from our 100th episode, which is going to be a live webcast. And before each live webcast in the past, we've done a Best of. So we're going to do one again. Now in the past two Best of's, we've done something different each time. The first one was a live stream Best of. The second one had listener suggestions between our clip shows. And for this one, we're going to try something else. This time I have a co-host. I have with me from OtherNeoZaz.com podcast, the Great 80s and Great 80s Movie Debate, and Muppets in Character, Christy.
Hello!
Who also happens to be the only person that is on every single episode of Star Wars in Character.
Not live.
No, not live.
Memories.
Well, Chris was special, in
yeah,
a sense, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
So being that, or seeing that you're the person that's been on every episode, how many episodes have you actually listened to?
Two.
So I know you've listened to the Christmas special.
Yes. And repeatedly.
Okay. Well, then, no, listening to that 99 times doesn't count as listening to all the episodes.
Oh. The other episode that I've watched and listened to has been Will Row Hood.
Okay. For obvious reasons that I probably don't need to get into.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to join me for this Best of, and you're going to take a listen to these clips with me. We're going to see if we can make you a regular listener. If not, we'll at least get you caught up on about a sixth of the episodes here.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to pick up where we left off in Volume 2 and start with Episode 26. Now, I have this visual aid. Do you know who this character is?
Cross-dressing Yoda.
Sort of, kind of? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the character's name is Yaddle.
Okay.
And it is a female version of the Yoda species. And, well, actually, on that note, we'll listen to this episode because we discuss a little bit about the design differences between Yoda and Yaddle, and I'm sure the difference in gender will come up. So from episode 26, here is a clip on Yaddle.
What all those characters, I mean, like you said, there's this guy that looks like Davy Jones. Some of those characters look cool. Some of them are like, you don't know what's going on with them. And the reason why is because in any of those scenes, Yoda and Mace Windu don't let anyone else talk.
Absolutely right.
No one else talks except for Kyoto Mundi, if I'm saying it right. I don't even know how you say the guy's name. Huh? The Conehead.
Hey. Kyoto Mundi, I think is how it's pronounced.
Whatever his name is.
Pretty much what you just said.
I think it's pronounced Kyoto Mundi. Just saying.
I'm going to call him Conehead. And he,
I'm doing my Mace Windu impression of not letting Dave talk.
Well, they let him talk, but pretty much Yoda and Mace Windu monopolize the conversation, and all those people are just seat fillers. I mean, it's like, you know, what is the point of any of them being there? They're not allowed to speak. So they could put any characters in there, and I don't know that a casual fan would notice that any of those other people are gone or changed.
Tim would.
Maybe they'll put the Wolfman that they took out of A New Hope from the special edition and put him in episode 1 instead of Yaddle.
Yeah, and Rick Baker's estate would get all pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, you're right about the way she looks, though. And I only know it was a female from you guys telling me. It's basically just Yoda in drag.
With that weird ass.
Well, she's not even really wearing that much different. The thing is, as Yaddle was actually designed by one of the concept artists, Ian McKay, he designed her as a young Yoda. And I guess they did a mock-up and they decided to just make it a whole new character, throw her on the council and say, okay, it's female.
They looked at it and said, what's that?
I didn't see any tits on her at all.
I'm so glad I asked you to repeat that.
Wait,
this was supposed to be the young version of Yoda, or the 30-year younger 900-year-old Yoda?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a concept design. They were doing all sorts of different designs for it, and someone decided that they were going to take this particular design and turn it into a character.
Gotcha. to say they were a little ambitious if that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, there's nothing that looks inherently feminine about Yaddle to me.
No.
Just because someone says it's female, I have to accept that that's female. But if you told me it was a 600-year-old dude, I'd be like, okay.
I'm waiting for Chris to say, except for that little cotton string that's hanging out her pant robe.
I love it.
Zing.
That was nice.
Thank you. And I like how I prefaced it with something that would be Chris would say to keep myself out of trouble.
That's right. Yeah. The last little thing I have is Yaddle was a puppet, obviously, operated by a puppeteer by the name of Phil Eason. Yeah, he's done a lot of puppetry on many films, and the three that popped out to me were Little Shop of Horrors, Lost in Space, and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the film version that had Sam Rockwell from a few years back. He had a few other credits, but these are the three most prominent ones.
So you're saying that there was a male's hand up the road? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sting.
Just wanted to make sure. Good.
And that's all I got.
There's nothing that makes her female other than long hair. I mean, it's like a pretty simplistic view of the galaxy to think that the female version of Yoda would just have long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets older, all the hair is on the side of his head and not on the top.
Yeah.
When Yaddle has it all on top of her head.
But the first thing I thought
her hairline is pretty high up. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of her right now, and she's got like a five, instead of a forehead, she's got like a five head. It goes way back to like the middle of her head.
But there's no hair on the sides. Like, that's what's weird. Like, female has...
There's a little bit of hair on the side, yeah.
I bet there is.
She has the opposite of a landing strip.
Oh!
Oh, jeez.
See what you've done.
I said nothing.
How would it sound? Now, how would it sound if Yoda and Yaddle had some alone time in the tree trunk together?
Now, which is which?
Away with your weapon! I mean to harm!
How is Yaddle?
Okay.
Oh, Christ.
The first thing I thought when I saw her was I immediately started thinking of E.T. when Gertie dresses E.T. up in the drag. It's the first thing I thought of. And I just watched Gremlins with my son the other day, too. And there's a couple, I don't know what makes them female Gremlins, but they have lipstick and wigs on. It looked exactly like Yaddle.
Were there boobies? I think there was. Weren't they wearing bras? No, I'm being serious. There was a few Gremlins that had on tops, bikini tops.
There's one that flashed Phoebe Cates.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And so, do you think you got a little better understanding of the character now?
I think you actually out-Chrissed Chris.
I did momentarily, but when he has that soundboard, I mean, he trumped me pretty quick with the soundboard.
I don't know, but yours was like right. You
yeah. Woo. Well, in fairness, that was only like a 4 or 5 minute clip, so I'm sure I'm not even speculating. I know for sure. Yeah, that little droplet of mine is nothing compared to the rest of the episode.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway. We'll move on here. This character. Well, first, let's see if you recognize this character.
It looks like a juicer with a body.
What the heck? His head was an engine part, but it was. You said juicer, and it made me think it was a beverage dispenser in A New Hope. But anyway, that's not the point. This point is...
beverage dispenser as a character.
Well, it was... he wasn't...
Wow.
No, that's... I probably gave you too much information to confuse you, but it's... You should know who this is. I mean, this is one of the cards...
Yeah, actually, I do know.
Okay.
IG-88.
Yes, that's one of the character cards we gave away at our Wizard World Philadelphia appearance. And you did... Actually, you signed one of these cards from one of the artists from our Artmore project that we met there.
That was cool. That was very interesting.
All right. So, yeah, meeting him was interesting. I thought, yeah.
No, no, no. and actually, I had quite a few conversations with Ted. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Woot woot, Ted.
This character was actually picked after our very first live webcast, episode 25. The chat room beat us in our trivia showdown, and they picked this character. So I'm not even going to bother. You probably don't know anything about the character, do you?
Not.
I will tell you this. He did have a pretty complex backstory, and one that we were kind of, I think, avoiding. I don't pick the characters, but after Tim struggled to get through this, I think we were avoiding it because of the character. And from episode 27, here's an example of that. This is a clip about IG-88's ridiculously complex backstory.
The bounty hunters always end up fighting each other, it seems. And I remember an IG-88. In fact, they came out with a series of figures that were the bounty hunters versus each other.
And here's a weird thing is, and there's this story, IG-88B getting destroyed, but I could have swore he shows up in the novel Shadows of the Empire. And I don't know if it's one of the other three IG-88s. It's been a long time since I read Shadows of the Empire. And I remember that was the first modern release of an IG-88 figure was on a Shadows of the Empire card. It was him and Shizor came in the same package. And that was the first time we got to see a new IG-88 figure since 1980.
That is what I'm thinking of. They did. It was like a Boba Fett versus IG-88 or something.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was a Boba Fett and IG-88 in the same package. Yeah.
They came in the package. They were even facing each other in the package. I could picture it in my head. Okay. And that was which IG-88? A?
I don't remember. I have the book. I haven't read it probably since 1996.
There was an IG-88 in at least the Shadows of the Empire game. I haven't read the book. I'm with you, Tim, in a long time. I don't know. I don't recall exactly how well the book and the game coincided story-wise, but there wasn't. You did face off IG-88 in the game at one point, but I don't know which one. And I wish I hadn't brought it up because now I'm more confused.
It's been, I know Chris has that game and we played hours and hours and hours on that game, but I, for the Super or the Nintendo 64, but
right.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember the Mountain Wampa. And that's about it.
Well, I'm glad the listeners picked this one because when they first picked it, you know, some people were putting names up there and I was like, happy to do whatever. But then when that started getting more votes, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So. It is an interesting story. When I'm condensing it down, I am following a little bit better than I was when I was trying to read it, and especially when I read the short story, I was like, my God, I want to blow my brains out. But and maybe that would have made a more entertaining show, but I'm not sure. But now that IG-88B is dead or gone, destroyed, there's the other three to contend with. One by one, they all get destroyed, but I believe it's IG-88D. I don't remember which one. See, he's really got it out to destroy the people of the universe, the organics, and he finds this computer core that he finds out is going to be destined to go to a new Death Star. This is the Death Star 2. So he decides to leave the shell of his body, upload his consciousness into this computer core that is going to be sent to the Death Star, the second Death Star.
So he gets
put in this computer core. The computer core gets entered into the second Death Star. So technically, the second Death Star is a really gigantic version of IG-88.
It's the IG-88DS.
Yes. The DS. But an IG-88, just to be a dick, he's not really doing anything. I mean, obviously I understand why he wants to take over the Death Star, because that would be his chance to go planet by planet and destroy everything once they get everything up and going. But to be a dick about things, the only way he exerts his dominance over the Emperor and people on the thing is by opening and closing doors. He doesn't do anything other than that. It's like,
that's awesome.
A door opens and then someone tries to walk through and he shuts it real fast. That's no. All that he does.
And there's a digital giggle. He, he, he.
Yeah, he's like, he, he, he. Beady, beady,
beady. Beady, beady,
So Tim, in a way, you could say that Lando and Wedge killed IG-88.
Lando and Wedge put the final nail in the coffin of the IG-88 franchise.
Oh, thank God.
Lando.
That's cool.
And that's really what screamed at when he went, yeehaw! And they zip out. And then we had 9-9 bitty, 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 next to him. Just going nuts. Yeah, blip, 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 blip.
That's so awesome. Yes. I love that story, Tim.
That's a cool story.
You savaged. I was about to not upload this episode, but because of that, you saved it.
That is cool. Ghost in the Machine.
Now you know why fans played ID88.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean the power of the many have chosen a good character for us to. And I said before, not my favorite character. I generally choose the characters that we talk about for better or worse. And as I said, I probably would not have chosen this character until like the 150th episode. And it turns out that this turned out to be a good story and an entertaining story. So thank you, people. We'll definitely do this again so you can improve our podcast.
So you can pick ID88D.
Yes.
Next time around.
I'm waiting for Chris to say ID88DD.
Oh shit. Rewind.
So from just that little bit you heard, did you follow any of character was?
It kind
of
sounds like he's the ghost in the machine kind of thing.
He kind
of
is at the end, but it's very strange. I mean, he's four robots with one mind. I mean, I understand the hive concept, but it's really difficult to explain and talk about.
Ooh, like the Daleks.
I have no idea.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know what the Daleks are, but I have no idea what that reference.
Daleks.
Yeah, as far as the collective. Okay. Now, we mentioned briefly before the last clip, the Artmore Project, and I did want to talk about it just a little bit in this segment of the show. And the Artmore Project, for anyone, if you haven't heard of it yet, it's the cornerstone of our now annual fundraiser for Toys for Tots that we do each Christmas. And what the Artmore Project is, its full name is the Mandalorian Artmore Project. We have gotten 60 artists to customize, decorate, or somehow make artistic pieces out of the chest plates of the Mandalorian armor. It's inspired by the TK Project, which did the Stormtrooper helmets, the Vader Project, which did the Darth Vader helmets, and the I think it's the As You Wish Project. It did the Boba Fett helmets, which was that they had a display Celebration 6. So definitely inspired by that. Been lucky enough to get 60 very talented people. Like I said, it benefits our Toys for Tots fundraiser, which we have our drop-off point again at the Winter Festival. More information to this can be found online, mainly right now on Facebook at facebook.com/Artmore Project. And we just launched something for the project now for anyone to get involved outside of being an artist. And we have an ad for it that I think I'm going to run towards the end of the episode. So when we get towards the end, it'll be a little more on that. So it's a way for anybody anywhere to help get involved on this project.
It's a really good cause, Toys for Tots.
Too. Yeah, it is. It's we try to keep it a Star Wars toys drive to fit in with the show, and plus the fact that all four of us on the show always had Star Wars toys, and I think is a really helped develop my imagination in a lot of ways. So I think, as weird as it sounds, I think they're kind of important toys to have. Those kind of toys, maybe not necessarily Star Wars, but toys that let you expand your imagination, I think is important for every kid to have part of their lives.
I actually met somebody who was a beneficiary of some toys for Toys for Tots, because when they were a kid, they were going through some rough times. And that meant so much to them. You never really think about it. You know it means something to a kid when they're growing up.
Right.
But then when you meet somebody years later who's so thankful and just, you know, it's somebody that actually contributes now that they're an adult, that they just explain how much the program means to them, and that's a great way to make somebody season special.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on with the characters here. We are up to episode 28. Now, you're going to know who this is, but you're not going to know who this is, I think.
We're talking Star Wars, right?
Yes, we're talking Star Wars.
That's E.T.
It is, but it isn't. His name is actually Senator Greblips. Let me show you the spelling of his name. So look at it backwards.
Spielberg.
Yes, it's Spielberg backwards. And in this episode, as I said, from episode 28, we discuss a bit about the George Lucas and Steven Spielberg connection.
I love this crossover stuff, and I always, like Chris said, like the fact that I knew that these two guys that pretty much, I mean, I don't want to give them too much credit here, but kind of helped shape at least my childhood and probably all of ours to a certain extent. I always loved the idea that these guys were not only partners and collaborators, but they seemed to be
best friends.
Friends
kind of thing, yeah.
And I always thought that was so, so awesome. I mean, who knows? They could have been hanging out together, double teaming Kate Capshaw. But
wow,
you know,
that actually creeps me out more than E.T.
It just the fact that these two guys that I loved their films and their writing and the fact that they were, you know, in cahoots. I just always loved that. So anytime anything like this happened, so when this happened in episode one and they showed those guys for those 2.6 seconds, I was like so on board with that. I was like, finally there's something in this movie worth watching.
You guys actually remember, if you saw it when you saw the movie in theaters for the first time, you saw E.T. immediately?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, one, I never saw Phantom Menace in theaters, I'm proud to say. But it took me I remember hearing about that, and I kind of had my eyes open for it. I didn't know what I was looking for when I first saw the movie. So I missed it the first time, and I think I missed it in a couple scrubbings. It took some searching for me to find it. How the hell did people see this, or how many times did they watch this movie to see it when that was, you know, let out into the world?
Like, I don't know if we knew this. Like, when this movie came out, did we all know that before we sat down in the theater?
I saw Phantom Menace three times on opening day.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I went to the midnight screening, then I got up super early and went to a 7 a.m. screening of this movie. But I don't remember if I saw it the first screening, but I do remember seeing it in one of those first three screenings. I just remember like, oh my God, I think, and also in that same scene, there's also a shot where it looks like there is a George Lucas and a Steven Spielberg sitting in one of those pods.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually,
it's
that's kind of funny.
At least that's what it looks like to me. I've never, there's never been any like other confirmation other than just what I think it is. No one's ever said that that's supposed to be George Lucas and Steven Spielberg sitting in a pod, but that's what it looks like to me.
Tim, it was Joey Fatone and Lance Bass.
And that Indian chick that was saying, ooh, Jedi.
Ooh, Jedi. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Because they made such a big deal over George Lucas appearing in episode three as a character. I was always like, well, what about in episode one where he was sitting in the pod? It's like, well, was that not George Lucas? So I don't know.
You may have been one of the first people to actually see that, Tim, because like Chris said, I mean, I take all my cues with this stuff from you guys. Like, you guys are the guys that tell me about this shit, and then I go back and look for it. Like with Chris and his Blu-rays now, like, I'm just kind of following his lead. So when I'm sure I heard it from Chris, I was lucky enough to have been working at a movie theater, so I didn't have to, you know, lay down another ticket price to go see it. But I was wondering how much of this is, maybe there's a secret agenda of them trying to get even more repeat business. Like, if you tell somebody something like that, they're like, really? I really want to see that. So maybe they go see it a second time, because there wasn't just that. There were other things in there too. There was a scene with the Millennium Falcon flying into a spaceport or something.
That was in the third one, wasn't it?
I thought that was in episode one. I mean, it may have been, but there was always something going on.
Easter eggs going on.
Yeah, where they did these things probably as little touches and nods to friends and inside jokes, but also probably knew in the back of their mind, we're going to make some extra, you know, quiche off of this, because these dorks are going to want to see the TNT.
I remember I saw it 10 times in the theater.
What?
I saw it at your theater, Dave. I was there for the
you
first screening.
You saw Phantom Menace 10 times?
10 times in
Holy
the theater.
Holy shit. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say to that. I have up to, how long has that movie been out now? 12 years?
No, it's been out almost 12 years.
I haven't seen it. I've seen it now twice. And one was a punishment on myself.
Punishment.
Literally, it was a punishment. I mean, I'll tell the story quick. I don't know what the fuck happened. I think I was talking to Chris throughout the day. Somehow I found myself in possession of having bought the Blu-ray set without even knowing I bought it. It's like, how the fuck did this come from? And I looked at the receipt. I'm like, that's my credit card number. What happened? So I had to punish myself, and I'm not allowed to watch any of the good stuff till I get through the prequels. I'm only 10 minutes into Attack of the Clones. That's how long it's taken me, and I've had them for a week. So you know, and I know Dave and Chris knew, and we probably talked about it with Tim, but this was a hard episode for me to record because I, ever since seeing E.T. and whenever that came out in the 80s, I've always been scared to death of them. I was like,
I was actually surprised you had it in your hand, picture in your hand, it was that close to you.
First movies that like made me jump out of my seat, and it's not a horror movie, and that just stuck with me, but I can't stand.
Yeah, anytime we go to Universal, you have to like avoid it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on it, but I don't like it. So,
but I guess then I shouldn't buy you like a little stuffed toy for Christmas.
No, you always threaten. It's always funny. Yeah. Ha ha ha. So, did you ever notice? I'm sure it is a moot question, but did you ever notice these ETs in the Senate, like we were talking about?
No.
I remember. No, I remember actively looking for them, but I don't think I would have noticed them.
No.
Anyway, moving on. Do you know this is a what instead of a who?
That is a Gamorrean guard.
Yes, that's right. How do you know that?
I think that was also one of the ones we were passing out. And that's one of the basic...
No, I don't think it was. Was it? I don't think so.
I don't know. For some reason, because anything in the trilogy, the original trilogy, mm-hmm. I know a little bit more of.
Okay.
So I think because they were kind of squealy things from Return of the Jedi.
Right.
I was old enough to appreciate a Return of the Jedi. It's a little piggy thing.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That explains that. That's cool. This, I think, was the first episode where we discussed a species rather than an actual character, but it ended up being a bit of a discussion on a couple characters, because going into it, we didn't know that each of the Gamorrean guards we see in the movie did have a backstory. Now, I did pick one because it's probably one of the oddest backstories out of any of the characters we've done.
Is it Squealy McPiggerstein?
No, it's actually Jubnuck, so you're close.
Jump.
So for more on that, this is actually pretty much the entire story because they're short stories. That's why we got so many fit in this one episode. But this is not only the oddest of the episode, but I think even with 99 episodes behind us, this might be the oddest backstory. So from episode 29 about the Gamorrean guards, here's some more about Jubnuck.
Some stories have this Jubnuck, even though you see him get his head bit, they have him surviving. In the
What?
He survives in the Rancor's stomach.
Oh, what? How? He gets his head bitten off.
Yeah, he gets chomped on. Those teeth pierce the skin.
Well,
and go deep.
I'm in total agreement with you, but I read this online that some stories have this. If you look up Jubnuck, this one that we know the name and the one that goes down with the guard or with the Rancor, he survives that according to the backstory. And I don't know if he's pooped out or what, but for whatever reason, because of what's in the Rancor's stomach, he can survive it.
Headless?
Oh, that is such crap. Yeah, he has no head.
Why? Well, I
when
know.
He come, when
Dave?
He come,
as he walks, like attacking Dave. Sorry, Dave.
He's the Ichabod Crane of Gamorrean guards.
How do you see where he's going when he just comes out of his shithole, the Rancor?
Gee.
Yeah, I would like to see. I would like to see, the Gamorrean guard crawling out of the Rancor's gullet and just like wiping whatever is in the Rancor off his body. That would actually be kind of an interesting scene.
Well, if you aren't on our Facebook page, I'm proud to say that Jubnuck did survive the first round of the tournament, and he has moved on to the second round.
Ooh,
that's right.
So, thank God for that.
Absolutely. Just like he survived the Rancor.
He
survived.
Did. That is crap.
So go on our Facebook page and vote for good old Jubnuck.
There's a scene on the new Blu-rays of a pile of Rancor shit, and you can see the guard walking out of it. And woo! That was rough. Where's my head?
Brushing off his arms, just like, oh man, that was tough.
Where's my head? Reese, by my head.
Yeah, that was a cool figure though, and the act, you're right, was cool because it was a novelty.
Yeah. Wait, this makes even. I had to see what the hell Dave's talking about, or whoever. Which one of you two brought it up that he survived? That was you, Dave. Yeah, it was you, Dave, right?
Yes.
This sentence, this needs, now this actually leaves me wanting more. It says, claims that he was later cut out of the stomach of the beast, still alive due to the discovery of a lucky talisman found inside the stomach. What lucky talisman? What is that?
He's waiting. I got company.
And there's no link to the lucky talisman or anything. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, it can only get in there if it was belonged to somebody else.
Yes, that's a whole other story. You're right, but what is it? Is it something that healed him? Okay, maybe, but that is not an explanation at all.
Yeah, I want to see that deleted scene. They cut him out, and he's like, "What's up?"
Yeah. Oh my God, that is actually led to many more questions.
So what do you?
I don't.
Jubnuck should survive onto the next round of the tournament.
Let's get maybe number one.
A grassroots.
That's actually number two. He came out number two, Tim.
But I'm jumping.
I don't understand how he even fell down the pit to begin with, because he's worked there for a while. He knows there's a hole there. Why is he standing so close to the hole? Well, is he just standing so close to be very convincing that there's nothing wrong? No, Luke, no, there's nothing going on here. Look how close I am standing to this.
Now,
it's ridiculous.
He actually, I mean, I Jim Muck is slowly becoming one of my favorite characters. he is the Secret Service agent of this clan of knuckleheads who really, what lack security is going on? I mean, Bush walks in, no guards. No, nothing. I mean, she walks in with a 9-foot, grizzly bear, and these guys don't even know she's here. So the security is crap to begin with. But Luke goes in and he gets the gun out of one of these dirty guys' holster, and Jubnuck goes after him. He leaps on. He's ready to take a bullet for Jabba. Falls down the pit, and they all just laugh at him. That ain't right.
So that is pretty much, apart from the conception and birth, the story of Jubnuck.
And we don't need to know that part. No.
Yeah, because the rest is pretty gross enough without that. But,
yeah.
Let's take a little pause here. I want to talk about our Facebook page, because that's where most of our news and the links we talk about in the show and further discussion of the characters takes place. It's at facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter, and we do get a lot of good discussions going there. We got a lot of great posters, a lot of posters from around the world, with Star Wars Celebration Europe having just passed. We've gotten some news from people at the event and people that are hearing news reported in Europe first before it got here. I mean, eventually when you get Star Wars news, especially at a celebration, it's like wildfire. But we did kind of feel like from time to time this weekend, we did get a little bit of an inside scoop a couple minutes before everybody else. But
it takes a village.
Yeah, I guess it does. So it's fun. I mean, a lot of funny people on there, a lot of interesting posts and further discussions beyond the podcast about a lot of these characters. So check it out. It's facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. So, all right, we're moving on to another prequel character.
What in the hell is that? wait, turn it upside down.
I wonder if Chris ever noticed that. We have to make sure Chris doesn't line up for Chris to see.
Did Chris design that character?
Is it better if I do it like that? Okay. Anyway, no, enough of that. So you don't know who this is. No one knows who this is until we did this episode. That's not true. I take it back. I'm sure people knew who it was. But his name is Lama Su. It was from Attack of the Clones.
That's why I don't know
which it. I know you saw because we saw it together, but he was, you may remember the planet that was entirely made of water where the cloning facilities are, where there was like a billion little Boba Fetts.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't remember. It doesn't matter. He's part of the cloning facility. I know this one's a losing battle with you, so I'm not even going to try. So, in fact, it's probably no secret that anyone's listened to the episode, and you probably know just from talking with me, Dave, and Chris, that collectively it's Attack of the Clones is our least favorite movie. Even Tim has said it's his least favorite movie. And leading into this clip, we even talk about on this clip that the backstories from Attack of the Clones pretty much suck too. So here is a clip from episode 30 from the episode Lamassu.
But here's the kicker.
It gets better.
After Count Dooku. Okay, and Matt, you're going to love this.
Oh, God. Every time you say that, I'm starting to cringe now. I hold really tight to the arms of my chair. Go for it.
After Count Dooku killed Sifo Dyas, he decided to keep Sifo Dyas's body, and he had it cryogenically frozen. So he was basically like a Walt Disney Jedi. Now at the time he's in the chamber, he's being frozen.
Oh boy!
So he freezes him. I don't know why he chose to freeze him, but he uses him later on. When General Grievous is so horribly injured that he needs to have his cybernetic enhancements to keep him alive, Count Dooku thaws out Sifo Dyas and uses Sifo Dyas's blood in a transfusion
keep
General Grievous alive.
So General Grievous is part Sifo Dyas.
General Grievous is part Sifo Dyas.
They both have an S in their name.
That's ridiculous.
And Dooku presented Grievous with Sifo Dyas's lightsaber. So the first lightsaber in Grievous's collection is Sifo Dyas. Sifo Dyas's lightsaber.
I believe it.
You know what?
A lot of this was...
Wait, didn't Grievous know that all he needed to survive was a lucky talisman?
That was Jubnuck.
Who would have heard of
that?
Right.
Oh, that, yeah, because that happens in the future. This is prequels. Okay.
So yeah, Grievous' lightsaber collection started with Sifo Dyas's lightsaber.
I kind of like that.
That's actually not...
I don't mind that aspect.
That's funny that you say that, Tim, because I actually... and more tolerant of that than the first half of the story told about Mr. Syphilis or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I don't mind that he had a Jedi blood transfusion. If we're going to go with the scientific, the midichlorians and everything, it would make sense.
Yeah. That's very so good point.
With this. So that actually makes sense. That whole bullshit with Dooku and yeah.
By freezing his body and all that?
Well, yeah, keeping the body for no apparent reason.
Well, not that we're going to know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But just even watching this again, when Ewan McGregor gets there and what did you say the girl was called? You know her
Tanwi.
Name.
Tanwi.
She just, there's like this very awkward introduction, you know, and those big salad spoons come down and they sit down. I was like, I remember seeing it the first time and even seeing it today and just being like, my head was spinning because I don't understand it. And even if this was the case and it was this big mystery, these guys are Jedi, right? Yeah. How about a little CSI investigation, you know, follow the money and find out who Sifo Dyas was? Wouldn't you be able to uncover this whole plan with just a little bit of investigation?
What I think is actually worse is that he just comes waltzing in and the Kamonians just start spilling everything without any explanation of who Obi-Wan is. Not like, who are you? Did Master Snuffleupagus send you? No, they just start telling him everything.
Yeah, no ID check. No.
Yeah. They're very giving of information.
Here comes Jesus with a lightsaber. Yeah. Let's tell him everything there is to know.
Or maybe that's part of their pompous attitude. They're just like, they like spilling off, you know, showing what they know that you don't know, and it actually works to their detriment. Any of those names from that story ring a bell? The Sifo Dyas, Grievous, or Dooku? And imagine Dooku probably kind of
Dooku.
Did.
Yeah, I think that's the
kind of a big deal in the second movie.
Is that Christopher Lee?
Yes, I was going to say next. So I mean, you probably at least recognize him from who the actor was.
Yes.
Okay, so that. Well, at least there was something in there you recognized. Mm. All right, let's move on. These you should. Maybe you do, maybe not by sight, but you would know the names.
Are those the Tonka sisters?
Tonka, yeah, Tonka sisters.
Oh, Tonka.
Yeah,
okay.
I tried to make a Tonka joke in this episode. I think it went everyone's head. Or it wasn't a very good joke, which is probably more the same. But you, yeah, one of them you played one in the Christmas special, and I think that one, I'm not even sure which is which. I'm not even sure which one you were. Specifically, I think I just separated names for the credits. But anyway, yeah, you played one in our Christmas special, our 2012 Christmas special. Mm-hmm. And did you ever notice them in the movie that you recall? Do you know what movie they're from? Let's ask that. Can you figure out what movie they're from? And then maybe we'll ask the second question.
Empire.
Nope. So, no, you didn't notice them. They're in the New Hope.
No.
Okay, they're one of the many different people, species, aliens in the cantina, that famous scene. You do know that scene, right?
Yes,
okay,
I know the cantina scene. Well,
you're not alone, because until researching this episode, Dave didn't know who these, not didn't know who they were, but never noticed them. So from episode 31 about the Tonica sisters, here's more about how Dave never noticed these characters and the opinion he's quickly formed while just recording this episode.
I'm still confused why anybody is interested in these girls. I mean, other than them being attractive girls.
That's about it.
Like, that's it? Is that why people, you think, why did people vote for them? Because I don't understand their purpose. To me, they're basically like, to the cantina, what Pinky and Leather Tuscadero were to Arnold's.
You're right.
Like, they're just there to throw a couple of chicks into the mix. I don't understand. Why? What do you think, other than the sex appeal, what is the appeal?
Maybe because in the Star Wars universe, I mean, it's just Leia and Padme, the two girls. I mean, that's about it.
That's true.
So you toss in these hotties.
That's a good point. I mean, Mon Mothma was nothing to write home about.
I forgot about her.
Although the Mon Mothma in the prequels was okay.
She's very attractive, that one. I forget who played her, but lovely.
No, I seriously had no idea that these people existed until Tim put it up there. What's Tonica? Is that like their last name?
That's their last name, yeah.
It's a set of toy metal trucks. Yeah,
Bria Tonica and Senny Tonica. And Bria is the one in the blue, Senny is the one in the green. I think Senny is the more attractive of the two, just looking at this picture that's on Wikipedia.
She is, the green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, from what?
At least in that picture, but they're both... you know, smoking hot chicks.
A Wikipedia photo here that was altered. They both need to shave.
Ow. Eesh.
From the waist down, they've added some hair on the legs. Let's just put it that way.
They've got some more.
What out of the way are you going to put that?
The actresses that played them, like Chris mentioned, Christine Hewitt. She's the one in the blue. She played Bria. She was a model and actress, and her and Angela Staines, the one in the green, were actually friends, and they responded to a casting call for tall blonde women.
Blonde,
yeah. Which is weird because both of them are wearing the space wrap on their head, and it is the exact opposite of blonde. But Christine Hewitt, she's been in a bunch of different big movies, actually, as mainly like background characters. She was in Die Another Day, Superman 4, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
And Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, yes. But the ultimate background character.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I never noticed them, because especially when you're a kid, you're concentrating on all these cool aliens, some cooler than others. And then these two chicks are on, you're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. I don't want to see that. I want to see something different. I don't need to see Cher with a weave. I want to see something interesting. And to me, they're not interesting. They're just there. They're pretty, but
they're eye candy. That's it.
I'm not watching Star Wars for that. I'm watching Star Wars for the amazing things that these guys can do, not slapping some wigs on some pretty girls.
Now, if George Lucas was to do a new edit and could digitally insert Greedo faces on them, how would you feel about that now?
I would enjoy that. Because to me, it's more interesting.
Yeah.
And I never noticed this until like you guys have pointed stuff out about the cantina, about how there were different shots done, and Matt has mentioned this several times, and I'm a big fan, and I can't pick this stuff out like you guys do. You said that you can tell this was shot sometime and this was shot another time, but some window in the background.
Yeah. You still haven't noticed that?
No, I have no. To me, I still watch it like I'm 4 years old, and that scene still is like spellbinding to me. And I can't tell, other than the addition of like taking out Lax Sivrak and sticking that other tusked alien in. You know, I can't tell. I mean, to me, it looks the same as it did back then, and I don't notice things like that, like you guys do. And I mean, I guess other people do because they voted for these girls, but I swear to God, I didn't know they were even in the movie.
Wow. So we said, like Dave, you probably didn't notice them, or at least remember them. We probably didn't notice them.
No.
So,
no.
But did you know when we recorded the Christmas special, did you know who I was talking about?
Nope, still didn't know.
Okay. All right.
I haven't watched it since the special. I'll have to watch it and see. No, I'm not going to.
Okay, so like Dave, you're pretty much not knowing anything about these characters until hearing this episode.
Pretty much, no.
Okay, but he's still a little bit ahead of you because you only heard a few minutes of it.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
All right, let's move on. This is the Band-Aid we got to pull off on this episode.
Oh, that encourages me.
You don't. There's not a chance you know what this guy's name is.
He kind of looks like the Oompa Loompa guy.
The
actor that did the Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, it's not him, though. You're right. I never noticed that.
He doesn't look like him.
Oh, what is his name? I can't remember now. I'll have to look it up. But I know who you're talking about. We didn't even notice that in the episode. But no, that's not the actor. The character's name is Evan Peel. And we've done, up to this point, 99 episodes. We actually have done 120 separate episodes, including specials and interviews. None of them are as bad as this character. I mean, we did what we could with this episode, but the material on this is absolutely terrible. This might be the worst character in the Star Wars galaxy.
He looks really boring.
He is boring. And it was pretty painstaking to go through this clip to find something to make a clip out of, but I did. And as you can probably guess from the way I preface this clip, this is pretty much complaining about how much his character sucks. So, from episode 32, here's more about the unlikable Evan Peel.
Isn't that a part of the original Cartoon Network? Or the original...
The knighthood for Anakin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the I don't know what you would call it. Yeah, the micro-series. That's in the micro-series.
The Samurai Jack thing. There's an episode where they cut off his braid and all that stuff. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yep.
Was Lemon Peel or whatever this guy was he in the Samurai Jack cartoon series?
Yes,
he was.
Emma Peel.
And I don't remember how his voice sounded, but he does appear in that. He was voiced by a voice actor by the name of Darren Norris. And I know Chris will recognize one of his other characters. I looked at what he does, and he's most famously known as the voice of Cosmo on the Fairly Odd Parents.
I am so fucking bored with this episode. I mean, Tim, you're just yapping, and I don't give a shit. Yeah. I want to talk about his fucking scar and his fucking ears.
This might be one of the most boring characters we've done yet. I mean, it's tough competition against Chancellor Vavort. I can't even say his name. I'm so bored with him.
Laboratory. I think that his ears are bigger because when you go blind, other senses get bigger and stronger.
What? Look at you.
I think his ears grew bigger because of his fucking one eye.
You came up with that.
One-eyed Willie.
Baby.
This is, to me, one of the worst looking characters in the entire saga. And it's not because of the ears as much, but that hair.
That ponytail up the top.
He is just a train wreck.
He is.
Like, this looks to me like if you can go and do online gaming and make your avatar and you can just pick, I'm going to pick these ears, this eye, this hair, and this skin color, and whatever it comes out like, that's my guy. That's what this looks like. This is just the mess. And Matt, like Matt said it, it's like this name is, it sounds too normal, Evan, which is a kind of a, you know, I don't want to say anything, but, it's very much like Emma Peel from the Avengers. It's almost exactly the same. Like, there's just nothing about this character that's attractive at all.
And there's like 1,000 masks of him out there, like actually really, professionally made masks you can buy. Why? Who wants to be him?
Yeah.
There was a mask marketed for this guy?
Yes. Yeah. When I was doing my research for the site, that's like, in almost every result of combination of words I put in, somehow this mask, I don't know who made it, would come up. It's like, well, probably because they were way overrun back in 1999. They're still trying to ditch them.
I saw the same thing. There's tons of masks for, you know, Copperfield.
I'll agree. I think he's a pretty lame character in general. They've never really been able to make him cool in any way. I know he does show up on that Tartovsky series, and he actually showed up in a pretty popular story arc on the last season, season three of the Clone Wars. And that's, it was the Citadel trilogy episodes.
That's when I really began to go, ooh, who's this guy? Like, those scenes and those episodes are really cool.
He's cool in that, but not that great. These episodes, these are the episodes that introduced the animated Wilhuff Tarkin, voiced by good friend of the show, Steven Stanton. But these are those episodes that brought in Tarkin, and I think that that's why people pay attention to these episodes, because of the introduction of Tarkin, not because Evan Peele is in them.
Oh, speak for yourself. That's why I watched them. I was like, ooh.
Well, my son watched at least one of the ones that he was in, and I asked him what he knew about him, and he said on the show he was cranky. Like, that was his personality. He was like kind of like a cranky little dude.
Well, if you were on the Jedi console with Mace Windu and Yoda, you'd be pretty permanently pissed off yourself too. I'll get to say shit, there I go home, my wife's yapping, I can't talk there. Where the fuck do I get to talk? Nowhere. All right, well, that brings us to our halfway point, so we've earned
this
break, or at least you have. So
that was, even his name is boring.
Yeah, it is.
Everything
Evan
about
Peele.
It.
Yeah,
he could just be the guy down the street.
And his, like, his skin color is kind of the color of the. Why are we still talking about it?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm just gonna move on. We cut through it. So we're at the halfway point, and what we usually do on the halfway mark is we do some behind the scenes. And I mentioned the Artmore project. Christmas has become pretty big for our show and for NeoZaz.com in general. We have our annual toy drive. We have this Artmore project going on. We did the 2012 Christmas Spectacular last year. We're doing another one this year. And we're also doing something, a third pretty large project on top of the Artmore project and the Christmas Spectacular, which can't even really hint at until we get that rolling. And I almost hinted what month that was. You can probably figure out what I was going to say, but anyway, that's all I can say about it. But the what's interesting, what really started this whole Christmas special part of this, was just a really, really simple conversation. It's one thing that someone said and snowballed so fast, and we were lucky enough to have it on tape, because a lot of things we've discussed on air but wasn't recorded. This was. So here from about the late fall of last year is how the Christmas special came together in this behind the scenes clip.
So do we want to do Lizard, Derlin, Battle Droid?
That sounds good, Tim.
Okay. So just say whatever you want for the Lizard.
Do we want to do anything for a holiday this year? A holiday special thing?
Maybe we could just do a audio commentary.
We'd have to watch it again, right?
Yeah.
Is there another Christmas type thing?
I only asked that because I've been cleaning out some files, and I see I have a copy of the Christmas album.
Christmas in the Stars.
We could do, how about those Ewok movies?
I would have to get those on DVD. I don't own those.
Yeah, what is that holiday record? What is it? Like, it's like the actors?
It's
Tim probably knows. Yeah, I was gonna say Tim, I'm sure knows.
Yeah, it's Anthony Daniels as C-3PO throughout the whole thing, and it's got like all these songs. But the thing that's famous, well, other than it being Star Wars, is the first ever released recording of Jon Bon Jovi. He sings on it. His brother produced it.
Right.
And I tried to get in contact with Tony Bon Jovi last year about it.
Bobby movie.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll send another request out to him and see if we can set something up with that dude.
Is that the only like official Christmas Star Wars thing?
I think so. Yeah.
There's Lego movies.
Yeah.
Those are Christmas? They have a Christmas one? Oh.
Trying to think of other crap that's
saying
there.
Like the Lego advent calendar and stuff. Trying to think of Christmas stuff. They had those greeting cards, the one with Yoda with the stuff on his back. But, I mean, are we going to talk about a card?
Just go one by one through all the Lucasfilm holiday cards.
Cards, yeah.
Are the songs funny?
Or are they it's kind of the same thing as the holiday special, where it starts out like, stupid. And then it's like 45 minutes later, you want to like drill your brain out.
We could do, this is the stupidest idea I ever thought of.
Yeah.
put all four heads together, and we could write our own Christmas carols.
Oh God!
Like Rudolph and his reindeer, but change it and just make up our own Star Wars thing and sing it.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. It's frightening, but not bad.
If we could get like really corny karaoke music to lay down
in the background or something.
Yeah. Ba-dum, bum, bum.
We could write a whole episode like one of those 80s Christmas specials where you're sitting hey! we're in Dave's in his cabin in the woods and we stop by with our Christmas carols for him.
Dave will be Dean Martin. He'll just slowly get more and more drunk as the show goes on. Hey, fuckers.
That's so upsetting.
I'm dreaming of a Hoth Christmas.
Little old wine drinking me.
That's good. Dreaming of a Hoth Christmas.
A Hoth Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, like a variety special.
You see that Tauntaun running in the Wampa chasing that thing.
And then you play a Tauntaun sound effect. Yeah,
we could
probably get...
And one of the songs could be a Hanukkah. It could be freaking Watto. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
chance cube. I made you out of clay.
Yeah. We got to start writing some songs.
That fucking douchebag cheats.
Hey, what do you know? It's my old friend, Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Are you bringing this?
We could have Lando do a Kwanzaa song.
Not yet.
Who has a red nose in the Star Wars world?
A red nose?
Yeah, like a red something.
I don't know.
R5-D4, the Jedi robot. No, too many syllables.
Red nose. We'll just pick our favorite characters and somehow it'll be funnier the more awkward it is. We gotta do a Porkins thing.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah. Like,
Ron, Porkins!
All I want for Christmas is some fried chicken.
Yeah. I like the run, Porkins.
Run, Porkins. I just got that, yeah. run, Wilrow. You got to get that computer core.
That's better. run, Wilrow.
We're going to be writing down these songs.
Yeah, run that down.
Something with Porkins being jolly.
I'll start looking for karaoke Christmas music, too. That shouldn't be too hard. That should be very easy to find, actually.
Where we say, like, Porkins got run over by a reindeer walking home from KFC one day.
Yeah, we just all think it's like just go through Christmas songs and we'll just like mess around with it and see what we come up with. That's a good idea.
See that?
That is a good idea.
Run, we'll.
Yeah, got 2 months on to think of some songs, write some songs, some lyrics.
It's the Star Wars in character Christmas spectacular.
We could have Han Solo sing a song.
That's my Watt Tambor singing Silent Night.
Thank you.
Holy night, all is calm.
All is calm.
Can we have Queen Amidala and Anakin Skywalker singing Baby It's Cold Outside? And baby, it's cold outside.
I really must go, Anakin.
Baby, it's cold outside.
That's actually really funny.
All right.
That's a keeper.
We got to all Google like every Christmas song.
Oh, you just made my workday so much more bearable. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. This would be fun to do at work. Maybe printing out lyrics.
I can't wait for the reception to say, someone print out the lyrics to Grandma Got Run Over the Reindeer. Nope. I'll take it to the recycling bin now.
I'll throw it away.
Who would do that?
I don't even want to announce it. I just want it to be released.
Do it.
Yeah. Just have an episode out there.
Yep.
How many songs are we talking about? Like on a thing, like 12 or something? Like,
I don't know. What do you... Do you want to? I love the idea of writing it out like a cheesy old 80s special where we each stop by and sing a song and maybe y'all do one together or do duets as people are crossing over.
Yeah. I do like that.
Yeah.
And then, we should probably do that sooner than later.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it's going to be a lot of work to edit.
I got to start writing music.
Yep.
Write it down, Buck.
Chris, you got to do one for that damn song you love with the Butterfly Kisses guy, that Christmas Shoes.
Okay.
Oh, God. That's the most depressing song on the face of the earth.
What's that song?
Oh, dude. Really? I've heard the song, man. Ears, man.
But if tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Are you ready?
They are his guns.
You're there a mean is. One, Mace Windu.
You're a bad banana.
You're a tall, bald black man with a leather wallet that says, bad motherfucker.
That's funny.
Can we be nasty and raunchy in these songs?
Hell yeah.
Have you not listened to the past episodes of the show? I don't think it'll shock anybody.
Nipples, dicks, and pussy. Nipples, dicks, and pussies.
Jingle bell, cock. You got to think of a person in there.
Yeah. You could do Blue Christmas, but something with blue titties. Endless possibilities.
Yes, but Tim is correct. We should probably decide sooner than later exactly what to do and start.
All right. Well, I'm going to do Finis Velorum.
That's awesome.
That's the one I really want to do. I could probably figure something out with Padme, Did You Know?
I'm doing Run, Run, Willow. God, if I can only say it, I'll do it.
Run, Run, Willow.
Best Ben's about to explode. I want to do I saw Luke kissing his sister.
Dave, I got one thing about this special before I forget. I'm looking through Christmas specials, and there's that famous duet between David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
We got to do David Bowie and Bill Cosby.
Peace on earth.
We got to do Little Jedi Boy and singing about Zed Jukasa.
That's a good idea.
No. No.
I enjoy hearing that mainly because I forget how much actually – I forget two things. I forget how much actually made it to the very end, and I also forget some of the ideas that just kind of fizzled. Slipped away. Well, some – yeah, that's true. Some fizzled, but some were good and just slipped away. We just never got around to it. Like the Porkins thing never came back around. Porkins was in the episode, but we could have done more with that, and we just – it just slipped by us. So maybe in the next one. Run, Run, Wilrow was something that made it almost to the very end, but then in the
you
last
recorded
minute,
it
yeah,
too.
I recorded it, and it just it's a very difficult song for me to sing and say. It's like a bit of a tongue twister for me, and it wasn't as funny as what we ended up doing, which was I Fucking Love Wilrow Hood. So that was a change, like in a 0 hour that came out.
Yeah.
For the better.
Oh, definitely. Because I kept hearing you. Actually, you actually wouldn't let me stay in the house when you were recording.
Nope.
So
I
that
can't
was...
sing. I can't sing when people are around unless I'm, you know. No, I was going to say, yeah, I do it on the podcast, but it's when you're not home. So, yep. Yeah. The Bill Cosby, David Bowie scene, which we knew that was going to. We're going to do something. That ended up changing to a poem, but that was cool to hear that we had that idea in that initial brainstorm. And the Amidala and Anakin thing has been real popular. And that was actually, I think the intention was just to sing the song in those monotone voices, but we ended up actually writing a parody again for the better. So that's cool. I'm glad we got that on tape, and I'm glad we're able to share that. So let's get back to the characters. You might at least recognize him. I don't know if you know his name.
Oh, that's the one Dave really likes.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. You might know him because of our Christmas shopping 2 years ago.
It just popped out of my brain.
His name is Wedge Antilles.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of the few characters that have been in all three of the original movies that apart from Luke, Han, Leia, Chewbacca, blah, 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 blah. So, yes, Dave does really like him because you helped me find a Wedge Antilles action figure for him for Christmas, either last year or the year before.
Yeah.
I don't recall. So we were all fans of this character going into this, but as we said, we found out Dave was a huge fan. And being that he is a huge fan and that there's no written death in any story, any comic book or novel or screen death for this character, we actually posed to Dave some ideas of what he would accept as the character's death. So this is what this clip is about. This is from episode 33 about Wedge Antilles. We kind of asked Dave which of our death ideas he would find acceptable.
But his final tale has never been written. I think they will continue to write stories about Wedge one of these stories eventually may have his end of days. He has not, his death has not been written. So that is still a story yet to be told.
Well, that's good. I was worried about what you were going to say at the end, and maybe because he is so beloved and there's depth to the character, they're not ready to cash this one in yet. They're going to let it open for people.
Well, Dave, let me ask you, what death, I don't want to say be happy about, what death would you be okay with for this character? What, in what circumstance, if you can give me one?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It would have to be something where he was sacrificing himself for the good of the rebellion, because that's what his whole life has been about. That's why I was even wondering about if Ramus Antilles was his dad, because I'm sitting there making my own fan fiction up in my head when I'm watching that last scene in Return of the Jedi, and he's just kind of observing the party, and he's just smiling. I mean, Lando's dancing, you know, he's doing his little Lando shuffle, and he's just kind of observing, and it's almost like I'm thinking what he's thinking, like this started way back when with, you know, his parents, and, you know, in my mind, it was this other guy, but it could have been anybody. And now the rebellion has won, and he's just like satisfied.
Just relieved.
Yeah. And it would have to be something where, like, even as an older man, he somehow furthered the cause of the rebellion.
What if you
I totally agree.
Find out that rather than dying in battle and in a ship, what if he was going up the ladder on his X-Wing and he fell and broke his neck and died?
That would not be satisfying, I can say that.
What if he had a heart attack having sex with a very attractive yet talented and risky pilot he was taking under his wing for the new Rogue Squadron?
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting, but also not satisfying, because to me that...
It was for him.
It was exactly... Yeah.
That would betray his character.
Oh, okay, all right. He's married, isn't he?
Well, just I know Chris and I are huge Indiana Jones fans, and I was dying in the fourth one to have them kill him. As much as I love Indiana Jones, I hope they make a fifth one, and I hope he dies, because I want him to have a fantastic
death scene.
That is for the greater good of whatever, humanity, a rebellion, the country, something like that. Like, he deserves a fitting death, and so does Wedge. And I hope whoever writes it one day, maybe George Lucas. I know that would make Matt happy.
He's a great writer.
I hope whoever does it, and I'm sure they will, they'll give it the attention that it deserves.
What if he choked to death on an ice cream cone given to him by Wilro Hood?
That's something you would.
He's, I'm lactose intolerant.
He gets a major brain freeze. Oh, that's terrible.
Now they better give him the honor and the respect that he deserves, because if they don't, they're going to have a fan revolt on their hands.
It'd be great if someone wrote like a 700 page X-Wing follow up book, and just like in the end, be like, oh, and Wedge died. That's like the last line of the book.
What if he got a massive wedgie?
BTW, Wedge died.
And I killed him.
Do people dress up like him at cons? You guys go to this all the time.
Yeah,
you should. How do you know it's Wedge?
Says, hello, my name is Wedge.
I think, I'm sure. I mean, no offense, all the fat X-Wings are Porkins.
Yeah.
Or Piggy.
It's just Wedge.
They're not loose. So if you have dark hair and you don't have a mustache...
You're not Biggs.
If you have a mustache, you're Biggs. If you don't have one, you're Wedge. And if you have blonde hair, you're Luke.
That's how you do.
Is anyone Dak?
I haven't seen a Dak.
I would go as Luke and put a dummy on my back that was like all dead, and that would be Dak.
That would be an awesome costume.
A smushed dummy.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Did you recognize how many? Let's try this. How many of the pilot name did you recognize at the end of that clip? And I wrote them down.
Okay.
There's Luke. We said Luke, Porkins, Biggs, Wedge, and Deck.
Porkins, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Wedge. I don't.
Well, we just talked. That was the Wedge clip. I'd hope you recognize that.
Yeah.
You didn't recognize Biggs? You should recognize Biggs. That was our.
Not really.
He was our. That was the CD episode we gave away at Wizard World.
Oh,
Biggs,
okay.
Darklighter.
Okay.
You pretty much guessed.
He's the one that looked like Tom Selleck.
In like the artwork, I guess, but I don't think
horn stash.
He doesn't really look like him on screen necessarily, but yeah, the artwork may have made him look like it. Yeah, that was pretty much what I thought you were going to say. I thought you might remember Biggs, and I knew you wouldn't know Deck. I was just curious.
Sounds like the stuff you put in the wall.
Yeah, you're not being scored.
Okay, so good. Okay. Good. Right, I'll be losing.
This guy probably don't recognize and probably don't know.
Kind of looks like John Wayne.
He doesn't look anything like John Wayne.
Okay.
John Wayne Gacy, maybe.
No, they have no idea. Is he human?
Yes, he's human.
Okay.
His name is Klieg Lars. Let's see. You saw another Attack of the Clones person. You probably remember the idea of him better. He was the man that married Anakin's mother. They went back to the home that looks, you know, where on Tatooine, and he had a new family. That's the father of the family, or the husband, I guess you'd say.
His name is Klieg.
Klieg, yes.
And the other thing was Llama.
Yeah.
Why does it sound like
Evan?
That it kind of sounds all like it all sounds like IKEA pieces. Oh yes, I've got to put together my Klieg Lars. Oh, and then I will scoot my Llama Sue chair underneath.
I have been to IKEA. I haven't been to one in 15 years.
If you went to an IKEA, you would probably want a Klieg Lars in ivory.
Okay.
Or Zeeman.
I will take this picture with me.
Take it and go. I would like a Klieg. I would like a Klieg Lars.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll get a chair.
Nothing.
You get a chair.
Okay. Well, this is another Attack of the Clones character. I don't know why we had a slew of Attack of the Clone characters in this group of episodes, but we did. And this is a rare occasion. This is where Dave and I, and I think Chris and Tim, and we'll hear in a second, I think we actually all got behind part of the story of Attack of the Clones as liking.
Ah.
But the more we discussed it, that doesn't last very long. So
okay.
For more about that, here is a clip from episode 34 about Klieg Lars.
No, I agree with you guys there. I think, as I've said before, episode 2 is my least favorite of all the Star Wars films, but I do like the Tatooine scenes. I even think that Hayden Christensen puts in a pretty good performance when his mother dies. I think that's his best acting performance of both movies. That one scene where his mom dies. I think he puts in a good job. So I think just about everything on Tatooine in episode 2 to me is like top notch.
As much as I hate and complain about how, you know, small the whole Star Wars galaxy is, and not even in the extended universe, even just in the movies, like, you know, I think we talked about the whole Chewbacca Yoda thing when we did Tarful. Of all the things I do hate where they have characters intertwined, this one I actually like, because you knew Uncle Owen had to be in the Skywalker family somehow. So bringing Shmi in as his stepmother, I really like this, is what I'm trying to say. I think of all the ones I hate, I want to take the time to point out saying I really like how this one ties the characters together.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought you guys would think I was crazy, but this is the point where I really started getting back into Star Wars as far as these prequels go.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a good explanation for something in the original trilogy, and that's what I was
looking for.
Yep. Prequels. Mm-hmm. It's a good explanation. How did Uncle Owen become an uncle to Luke, or was it just a name, or did it mean something? And this is just really when Anakin starts getting dark. Those scenes are great. Like just in the whole Tusken Raider scene that happens afterwards. Like, I've never been in Hayden Christensen hater like a lot of people are, but I love those scenes because it's one of the major cruxes of his development, his inability to save his mother.
That is the first nail in the coffin almost is the one, all those scenes. And I just watched it on Blu-ray. I could be wrong. I was mad when this movie came out and the Tusken Raiders, and it came out of the tent and he slaughtered the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they cut it out before he actually hit him?
No.
Original release?
Yeah.
No.
On Blu-ray, you see his whole head and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And on DVD. I don't know. I think the guy gets a bad rap. I'm not going to sit here and say he's fantastic, but...
What did you say?
you're wrong. I'm going to sit here and say you're completely wrong, Dave.
I'm standing by the guy. I think that he can do some things and doesn't get credit for being able to do anything. Nope.
He was cursed with bad dialogue and bad character direction
yes.
on the Naboo scenes, and that sort of sealed his fate for the rest of that movie and going into episode three, I think. But I do think that his scenes on Tatooine, I think, are solid.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Him rolling down the hill with Natalie Portman and giggling is stupid. But him...
There you go. That's the best. You know,
him screaming to her afterwards, they were like animals, and I slaughtered the lamb animals. I hate them! You know? I love that. Stuff. I think he can do that stuff. He's an angsty teenager.
Wrong.
Yeah, he's very emo in episode two.
Yeah,
it's unfair.
They could have hired Emo Phillips, and I would have been happier with the performance.
They're like animals. I slaughtered them like animals.
All right.
That's all the information I have on Kleeg. The only other
stuff
we're
talking
I have
about Kleeg. Shit, I thought we were talking about Owen and then Shmi and then Anakin. I got totally lost. My question I have for you for this clip is, I guess, just a general. What is your opinion of Hayden Christensen? I don't. Is that Christensen?
Christensen.
Christian. I don't. What's your opinion of him? I don't think we've ever discussed this. I can't imagine we've ever discussed this. I can't see the situation.
I don't think this would be a dinner conversation. Up,
but I'm curious, as a woman, since there's no women on the show, what is your opinion of him?
Not a big fan. Not a big fan.
Oh, okay.
Actors, for me, come in two kind of categories. Either they're really, really good actors, or they're pretty.
Okay, and which one is he?
He is neither one of the two actors. He is in a third where it's, I won't watch
it. Okay, so the scale kind of fell off the post. It just,
I'm in the middle of, I could do something else. Like,
okay, it's one of those weird physics things. No matter how much weight you put on either side, nothing happens.
Correct.
Okay. So that's a pretty good explanation of him, in my opinion, too. Yep. Okay, I was just curious.
He's neither overly pretty nor good at all.
Okay, so we've never had a female perspective on him before, and now we do, and now we never need to have one again. Well, like I said to open the show, we're leading up to our 100th episode, and we're putting some new things in place for the 100th episode and for further episodes as well. And one of those things is we put a voicemail button on our webpage where you can record a voicemail directly from your computer. If you aren't able to do it from your computer, it gives you instructions how to do it from your cell phone or landline or how to mail us one as well. So to access that and leave us a message, if you want to leave it about the 100th episode, great. If you want to leave it about anything, about any of the characters we talked about, things you liked about the show, maybe things you don't like about the show, we're happy to hear it. It's easy to do. Just visit our website at swic.neozaz.com, and on the right side of the screen, you'll see a button that says send voicemail. Just click that and it'll give you all the instructions from there. Well, this is the moment I have been waiting for while doing the best of since the first volume of best of, I should say. I'm just so excited I can't speak. Because
we're about to
talk about this guy. You know who this guy is.
That is Will Roman.
You know who this guy is. Yes, of course.
We have his action figure on the wall.
His action figure is right there on the wall. Thank you again to my co-host Dave for that. Best birthday ever when I got my Will Roy Hood figure.
It makes you physically smile.
It does.
Like, I'll see you working on the computer and your eyes will just kind of drift off to the right. And
I'll just start whistling. Like, I don't even know what the real Christmas song it is anymore because it'll always be I Fucking Love Will Roy Hood. It doesn't matter who's playing it or something.
We better not go in public and carol.
Anyway. Ah. Oh.
We should never carol.
Oh, man, we should do some Star Wars and character Christmas caroling this year.
No.
Anyway, that's another idea. That's for another episode. Now, obviously, when you're talking about Will Roy Hood, it's hard to pick up a best of moment because from beginning to end is just the best that there is. But in fairness to the other 13 episodes we need to cover in this best of episode, I picked just a small piece of the best character ever. So from episode 35, here's more about Will Roy Hood.
He worked for a mining company called Aero Filter. And they were one of many mining companies on Bespin, which I always thought that Lando was just in charge of everything. But apparently there's different companies doing mining on Bespin. And the Aerofilter is one of them. And Will Roy Hood works for this company. But I always thought that Cloud City itself was its own company.
So there's like subcontracting going on.
I guess, yeah. Aerofilter had its ties to the Rebellion. It's It helped out the rebellion by giving discount prices on Tibana gas.
Prices slash.
Yeah. So they were
buy three cones, get one can of gas free.
They were very quietly assisting the rebels by giving them slashed discount prices on Tibana fuel.
That's absolutely crazy, Will Roll. We're insane.
Did you talk real fast like the other guy does?
Like the other guy.
He was that guy. Remember the guy with your kid? Come there, come here.
Next guy?
No, the guy who used to sell shit on TV real fast.
Crazy Eddie? Or are you talking the Micro Machine guy?
Yeah, but he was also announcer for like some kind of store for a while.
Micro Machine guy?
Yeah. If we say yes, can we continue talking about Warhood?
Matt's yes. been asking to do this character since we started doing
this. We've talked about the Micro Machine guy, the FedEx guy, and Eddie Murphy more than Warhood so far.
This is not what Matt had in mind.
And Bill Cosby, which may or may not even make it on this show.
Yeah.
Oh, wooden pop.
That's the best worst impression I've ever heard. Wooden pop.
How about we do David Bowie and Bill Cosby talking?
Hey, David, what are you working on in this album over there, bro?
Turn back, Bill.
Anyway,
you're right.
So they were given discounted price of the rebellion, and Wilro Hood was in charge of the department that slashed those prices to low, low, low deals.
So he's a comptroller.
Yeah, yeah. And pretty much that was his thing. He was their discounter. And when the Imperials invaded Cloud City, Wilro Hood took it upon himself to retrieve the computer core that held all that information and all the rebellion contacts, and then run with it to the nearest waste disposal, nearest waste disposal facility where he dumped it.
It's so ridiculous. I read this because I wanted to know what this was about too. That is so ridiculous to call that a computer core. That's just that is such a stretch.
Yep. So he runs with the computer core, throws it out. And then he gets interrogated, and they can't find anything. And that's pretty much the end of his story.
So he's a hero.
Hell yeah.
Yes. He.
You can't spell hero without Ro.
That's true.
He's got three out of the four letters in his
name. He does. He's just missing the E, and he don't need no E because he's Wilro.
Well, I mean, if we take hero from like the movie or the TV show Heroes, H-I-R-O, he could be Japanese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go with that.
But we'll take that.
He could also be Willow.
Yeah. He was a hero, too.
Ah, great.
But, he could be Hill.
Or Bill Cosby.
Puddin' Pop.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Pudding Pop.
Here's Chris's Bill Cosby impression. Pudding Pop.
Here's Chris's Bill Cosby impression. Ah, Bill Cosby, Pudding Pop. Bill Cosby.
Pudding Pop. Look at my sweater.
I got a glass eye, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Telling you, that guy is looking at me and you at the same time.
Doesn't mean his glass. Why are we talking about Bill Cosby when clearly Wilro Hood deserves our undivided attention?
Wilro Hood.
Well, so he's making Pudding Pops in that computer core. Now, after listening to this clip again, I mean, not only is this my favorite obscure character by far, this episode actually is a kind of a foundation episode for where Star Wars in character has gone after this. And I'm not doing more Wilro pandering. I'm actually serious. And I wrote down some notes while we listened to that. This is where I fucking love Wilro Hood came from, which I knew going into this. And the Bill Cosby thing, our Bill Cosby impressions.
That's the first time Dave did that?
We probably did it before, but it's the first time during a recording episode. Like, we've done it. I don't know. I'm going to guess it had to have happened before recording or after, just because it's an impression Dave has done
for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. But this is the first time it was captured on tape, as it were, or in a recording, on a digital
on
recording.
On data tape, on laser disc, on tablet.
No. I know where you're going with that. That's okay. So,
next up.
So, I mean, apart from being my favorite character, it's pretty
I don't know, influential. I don't know what to say. It's an interesting benchmark for where the show has gone from there. So anyway, enough. I can't stop talking about Royal Hood. And I
yes, you
to.
Can. You
I,
should.
I know. Well, I shouldn't until now that we see who we're doing next. Do you know? I know you know what this is, but do you know which what this is?
Which what?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Jar Jar.
No, it's not Jar. We actually talked about this Gungan. Remember when we did the tournament leading up to the Star Wars obscure character face off?
Yes.
That was in one of the tournaments. I think it was in the good guy tournament.
Somebody voted for him. People voted for him.
I think Tim voted for him. Wow. I think. I could be wrong. His name is Ruse Tarples. So it probably doesn't. I think we just referred to him as the Gungan a lot in that episode. So you may remember him only as that. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that.
Yeah.
So it was, if we're going to talk about a Gungan in an episode, it was unavoidable that we're just going to talk about Gungans in general, because yeah. we all have pretty strong and varied opinions about them. And actually, what this clip is about, this is where we're actually learning more about Gungans. So from episode 36 about Ruse Tarples, here's a little bit to learn about Gungans.
They seem like there's a lot going on in Naboo, and I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, it's not very clear, especially to me, and I would assume a lot of people. There's probably some things in some books somewhere that explain a lot of things, but I don't really think there's a whole lot that needs to be explained. It's kind of like separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the Gungans and their underwater ghettos, and then the Naboo and their ivory towers above.
Right. It makes you kind of pull for the Gungans a little more and hate the humans.
A little bit.
Although, a little bit. Then Jar Jar and Boss Nass come in, and then you just hate everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe we start being friends. Anyway, going back to Tarples. Tarples, he decided to change his ways. So in order to better himself and to change his life, he enlisted into the Gungan Grand Army. I'm not sure who the Gungan Grand Army fights.
That's what was going to be my question. I was like, what is this army fighting against?
I think they just run drills.
Okay. Yeah.
up until the Battle of Naboo, I think they just run underwater drills all day.
So dazzle.
Marching up and down the square.
That took a second.
But I think they're mainly just a security force for the cities, of keeping the Naboo out, I would assume, or any other people who may want to interlope onto Gungan land, underwater land stuff.
Like Jedi.
Yes. they're like Japan. They're isolationists. They don't want anybody to come in their city that aren't Gungans. So they're very sheltered. It's a very sheltered life they live. But after joining the army, and he eventually rose to the rank of captain, he and Jar Jar didn't hang out a whole lot. He was distancing himself from Jar Jar. So he was too cool for school when it came to Jar Jar. But eventually Jar Jar had a little issue where he was exiled from Uta Gunta, which is the city that we see in episode 1, because he destroyed Boss Nass's Hay Blibber.
What?
Uh-huh. Well,
he says Hay Blibber in the movie, and for some reason I always thought Hay Blibber was slang for head. Like, I thought he knocked him on the head or something. Mm-hmm. But a Hay Blibber is a luxury version of the bongo boat that we see them all going through the planet Kor in. So I don't know what I'd rather have my vehicle named, a bongo or a Hay Blibber.
Mm. So that's why he's persona non grata in episode 1, because he's destroyed Boss Nass's ship.
He destroyed Boss Nass's favorite ship.
Okay. Do you understand that? I mean, I only saw episode 1 once. Do they make that clear? Because I just remember him not being liked, and I thought it was for the reasons that everybody feels. And they mentioned that specifically in the movie?
Yeah, he says it in Gunganese, and it's difficult to understand exactly what he's referring to. I always thought he knocked something and hit Boss Nass in the head or something.
Like that, why do they bother putting it in a different language? It makes no sense in English or that language or anything.
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, Hey Blibber, I would never have thought of it as a luxury vehicle for the Gungans to cruise the water lanes in.
Hey, has anybody done a Star Wars parody of that Psy song?
Oh yeah. Yeah, like almost immediately.
Gungan style.
Almost immediately. And they did it in Jar Jar's voice, of course. There may be one where it was sung like by a Psy impressionist or impersonator rather with the same lyrics, but I hadn't seen that. But yeah, almost immediately there's a Gungan style video on YouTube. So let's stop talking about them. I did have a question for you. No, let me say this. Okay. I mean, I'm never say anything nice about Gungans or Jar Jar, and I'm sorry, but in my opinion, rightfully so. But I'm going to say this. I did write this post note down. You know, I do say what I say about the Gungans and that whole thing. But if there is some good to come out of them, it probably is the best 3D segment of the new Star Tours ride.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the most action filled and definitely at least the best 3D. So I think of all the choices in that rotation, I do think that's the best one. So there is something positive I can say about the existence of the Gungans.
Not from the movies, but from the ride.
Not from the movie, but from the ride. Yes. So I want to take a moment to talk about the 100th episode here, because we hadn't really talked much about it, if at all, on the past two episodes of the podcast. And we haven't said much here yet. So here's what I can tell you so far. It will be a live episode, like I mentioned, a webcast. It's going to be an audio-only webcast. We're going to pull out the video. And we're pulling out the video because we're actually adding something else in its place. And what we're adding is a call-in feature. We have a phone number and a Skype account that you'll be able to call into during the live webcast and join in on the show. There's going to be three lines open. We're going to get through everyone as well as we can. Anyone that wants to participate, we certainly want you to be on there and enjoy yourselves as well. We'll also have a chat room like we usually have to interact with everyone. We've always had a great time doing these live shows, mainly because of the interaction part of it. And we think with this call-in feature, it's just going to add to it. Now, what the subject matter is, I am not going to say until I'm with my co-host, and we may not even have a chance to release that until we tell you the date and time of the episode, but I'm going to wait until I'm with them to announce that. So as far as the date and time is concerned, that hasn't been scheduled yet. I can tell you it's roughly 2 weeks from the release of this episode. And to find out, like I said earlier, that will be on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. That will definitely be the first place we list the date and time for the 100th episode. Moving on with characters, we're up to episode 37, and we got, I will take a who and or what movie from you, if you can even give me that.
It looks like a damn Rorschach chest, or like a slug.
It is slug-like, I guess. It's this artwork isn't a great representation of him. He looks more like a giant walking fluke worm. But what
that's
is
much better.
Yeah. Well, as far as visual description, it's still kind of frightening. But it's one of the characters that was in Jabba's palace. Okay. Essentially, kind of a background dressing character. He didn't play a direct role in the film events we saw on film.
But he had a backstory.
He has everything has a backstory, and I mean things, not just people. Everything has a backstory in Star Wars. But this is one of those characters we came in completely cold, knew nothing about him. His name's Amon Amon. I think I forgot to mention that. And once we started to learn about this character, all of us got really interested and wanted to learn more. And this is a case where I guess it's be careful what you wish for, because Tim did continue to tell us, and he may have shared some facts we maybe could have lived without. So for more on what I am talking about, here's our clip from episode 37 about Amon Amon.
You said you found something about like how there was 32 skulls.
Supposedly says he had 35 heads displayed on posts around Jabba's palace complex.
That's cool.
It is cool. And supposedly he has a dead, dried, decapitated corpse right next to him that he like drags around as his wooby.
You know what? I was wondering about that. they released an action figure for him. He's only had two action figures made, as far as I know. Yeah. And the second one that came out about 10 years ago came with like a dried up skeleton. It was a deluxe figure. It came with a dried up skeleton. It came with his staff, and it came with a very sassy little Salacious Crumb figure for some reason. Salacious Crumb was like sort of striking a sassy Beyonce pose in the package.
This is awesome. I'm looking at this picture. Chris has a picture with this body.
I think I'm looking at the same one. Yeah.
Decapitated Wooby.
My Wooby. This is like as close as Star Wars has crept into the horror genre.
Well, what's cool is like this, of all the characters on a background, tell me fucking more about this guy.
Seriously?
I want more.
This guy's like hostile.
Are you sure you want to hear more? All right. Interesting fact about the Imani. Not only do they eat with their mouth.
Oh, no.
They can widen and eat like animals whole, like a snake. They also expel their quote unquote biological waste.
Oh, God. So he can talk shit.
And he should,
literally.
He should
literally
eat.
Phenomenon.
And as was pointed out a little bit, he literally talks shit. It says that they on one of the pages I was looking at, it says that they understand that in most cultures around the universe this is frowned upon, so they generally do this in private.
Well, that's good.
I would hope so.
I would hope so. Yeah, like all of us. Not many of us do this in public.
I do.
That's why not many. That's why nobody knows.
You mean
name.
Not many of the four of us? Or
he must have a big ass carton of like Tic Tacs all the time with him.
That's what he carries.
Nobody
in
knows
his movie.
His name because they don't want to ask him. Because as soon as he opens his mouth,
my name's Ahmad Ahmad.
This chronic halitosis comes out that smells like
you smell like shit.
Oh my god.
So in a way, he don't know if the corn he's eating is
food.
Oh,
come on. Is this the endless cycle?
I was trying to think of a corn joke earlier, and I couldn't think of one that was funny. That was not too bad.
Best fact ever.
Once again, toilet humor saves the episode.
Yes, yes. Okay, now it was pointed out earlier that he has these little tiny, tiny, stubby legs. And they're not very good walkers. They're very slow. But just like the Lerman, as we saw in that episode of Clone Wars, these guys are able to roll themselves up like Sonic the Hedgehog and roll at really high speeds. They can roll up.
Coins?
What's up?
And get coins?
Well, in certain parts of the country, I think.
Okay.
but yeah, they can roll at like really high speeds. They can roll up to 50 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, you were right. You should have stopped back then.
There have been action figures. This was an action figure in the original line of the Star Wars toys.
How big is it?
He's big. He's about, say if a action figure is like that tall, he's just like head taller. So yeah, he was a big action figure. I never had him. He was released post the first Return of the Jedi wave, and I think that's the last time I had gotten figures as a kid.
Huh.
He was in the Power of the Force, which I know, I just realized you're not understanding a word I'm saying.
It's all so going blah blah blah.
Exactly. Let's go on with the next character. Do you know? You got to know who this is, and there's a couple reasons you should know who this is.
Oh, I think I recognize that from the Face Off.
Yes. And at this point, with us, how much you don't know, I'll take that. I will take that answer.
Oh,
I'll take
good.
That answer. He was
That's
in our.
All you're getting.
He was in the obscure character Face Off. His name was Poggle Lester.
Oh, okay.
And specifically, you'll remember this event from the Face Off. It's the one that Tim did his impression of
funny.
A thunderous applause.
That
and I'm
was
not,
funny.
I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, it was really people really thought that was funny.
That took a skill.
And it was funny. So, let's see. It's another prequel character. Attack of the Clones is the first time we see him. He's also in Revenge of the Sith, so, I mean, at least he
still probably
around.
Only yeah, saw it five. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. 5 seconds.
I don't think you hear us get too excited about prequel characters ever on the show.
No.
But in this character discussion, we start talking about his death. And going back and listening to this for the best of, it's actually kind of funny how we get a little too excited about a character's death. So, to better illustrate what I'm talking about, I'll play the clip. This is from episode 38. It is the character death discussion about Poggle the Lesser.
But yeah, and as we see later, Poggle escapes Geonosis, but not before we find out that the Geonosians and the Techno Unit, I would assume, had created plans for a super, you know, weapon, which we all found out later was the Death Star. So yeah,
that was at least like they did put those little things in there for, I don't know, at least people like me. Like, I'm checked out, although I did like that battle. It was okay. I was with it at least a little bit through that. And then, like, you see the Death Star and you perk up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if only for a fleeting second, at least I was like into it.
I
do remember going to see episode 2 on that midnight screening, and when they showed the Death Star, I remember just going, ooh. So I thought, I actually thought that the Death Star was going to have a much greater significance in episode 3 for some reason at that point. I thought maybe the plans or something having to do with the Death Star was going to have greater significance instead of just seeing the framework there at the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
it didn't.
Nope.
In case you
it did not
forgot. Okay.
There's a lot of things you forgot. There's a lot of things. But then, yeah, and then the Clone Wars starts, and you'd think there's not a whole lot going on, but in season 2 of the Clone Wars, there's a really great 3-episode story arc that we see in season 2, where the Republic actually returns to Geonosis. The Separatists were able to retake the planet and start up a new droid foundry. And I would have to say that these 3 episodes trump the entire Geonosian storyline in the movie. They're just so well done, and they take on all different themes. Like, they have one, it's called I think it's called Landing at Port Rain, where it's basically a 30-minute battle scene, and it's awesome. It puts you right there. Better than the film. And then it goes on, and there's a horror thing with zombies and stuff that has to deal with the Geonosis, but it's really good. And Poggle the Lesser gets kidnapped and interrogated.
Oh, yeah, is that like they're like little worms or something that?
Yeah,
I saw that one too. That was actually really good.
Yeah, there's some really good. It's actually a pretty scary episode. I watched it not that long ago, and I really enjoyed it. I think that they did some really good stuff with those 3 episodes with Geonosis.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Poggle the Lesser is captured, but I don't remember how he escaped. He gets away at some point, because we actually see him in episode 3 very briefly getting killed by Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker before he puts on the Darth Vader suit, but he's Darth Vader at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, that part was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They actually, he dies in different ways. In the book, they have him beheaded. I think on the Star Wars Revenge of the Sith video game, he gets squashed by a door. So they've killed him in a few different ways, but if I remember correctly, Anakin just slashes him with a sword and kills him.
He gets, I slowed it down because I only knew he was in episode 3 because my son, I thought I was done after episode 2. I was like, yes, done. And he was like, no, he's in episode 3. I was like, are you kidding? So he told me where it was, and thank God it wasn't long. And I slowed it down and paused it, like pause. He cuts his torso off.
Ugh.
At first I thought it was just his head, but it's not his head. It's like his shoulders. From his shoulders up.
Oh, wow.
It's cut off, and you see his head and shoulders, not the shampoo. You see them fly to one side as the rest of his body falls to the floor, and they're on fire. And he's got that cool little beard, you know?
Yeah.
He kind of, as he's cutting the head and shoulders off, he slices even off the ends, the tips of the beard.
Oh, not the beard.
So as he's going down, you see like the severed part of his torso, like kind of orangey on fire, and some of the tips of the beard are even on fire.
Ooh.
Like, oh, wow.
They, for something that you can't even see unless you slow it down, they really put the time in.
His beard was singed.
Yeah.
They didn't need to sever the beard. I mean, nobody can see that when it happens.
Right.
But I did like this character, but I liked watching him die.
That's an FX guy taking real pride in his work, is what that is.
Yeah.
It was cool. And I love that scene because to me, all those guys, I'm sure Tim's going to make us sit through Newt Gunray and all these other people.
Oh, man. Why do you always make the future look so bleak?
I loved watching those guys die.
Yeah. Yes. It's a great scene. It really is.
You really. In the theater, standing up, popcorn spread everywhere.
Absolutely. Yes. They were the bane of my existence.
I have no post-comment questions or anything prepared for you for this character. I could not think of any. So if you got anything you want to say, the floor is yours about Poggle the Lesser.
No. It's a prequel character, therefore I have absolutely nothing to say.
Okay, fair enough. If you're a regular listener, you know when we get towards the end of the episodes, we usually round out everything with a round of trivia. We're not quite at the end of this episode, but we're getting there. And I did want to get a round of trivia in here. So,
as
I brought out my Obsessed with Star Wars book, which you can thank my parents for getting this for me. So it's their fault that we're able to do this trivia.
Thanks so much.
This is the same book I think we used in the third round. We definitely used it in a round of trivia. On the show. I think it was a third round. So this is the same set of questions. So I am going to ask you a random question. Let me set this to random. Okay, your question is number 1403. 1403. You are... I don't know if you got out of the prequel territory. Oh, yep. Okay, here's the 1300s. Woo-hoo. You're at least out of the prequel
Thank
questions.
God.
And it appears you're in a new, you have a New Hope question. Okay. What species has hidden prehensile proboscis, which they can suck out others' life essences through their nostrils? Which species have hidden prehensile proboscis with which they can suck out other life essence?
Okay.
Others' life essence through their nostrils.
Okay.
There's a multiple choice. A. I'm going to say Mercerians, but that may be wrong. B, Rhodians. D, Anzades. Or D, Rannets. Well, I just say them again, but A, B, C, or D, because you're pretty much going to be guessing.
Okay. C.
C? You're right.
Holy crap! How did that happen?
I don't know.
Ha!
Well, you're in the lead.
Ooh, yeah. Let's see what you got. Oh. 183.
Oh, okay. That's definitely
183.
Oh, that sucks. That's got there's no way that can't be Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace era. 183. What was Pod Racer Ark Bumpy Roos's homeworld? Was it A?
C. I have no idea, so I'm guessing C now.
Was it A, Stump, B, Sump, C, Slump, or D, Skump?
Okay, it's not C. That's no way it's C. Say D. D is the only one that doesn't sound like a real word, so we'll say D.
Oh, no. It was C.
It was C? Was that Stump or something?
Slump.
Oh, God. All right.
Stump, Slump.
Oh, you got 2234.
Oh.
Good Lord. That's probably a Jedi question.
Still in the realm of movies I've actually seen.
Exactly. No, it's Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Okay, what species planned to eat Luke Skywalker?
What doesn't plan to eat Luke Skywalker?
A, Twi'leks, B, Ewoks, C, Sullustans, or D, Bith? What species planned to eat Luke Skywalker?
D.
D, Bith?
Wait, what was the first one?
Twi'leks. A, Twi'leks, B, Ewoks, C, Sullustans, D, Bith.
C.
Sullustans? Nope. I think it's B. Yeah, it's B. Ewoks. Remember
they're going to eat him?
Yeah. So remember they put Han Solo over a fire?
I thought that was a form of torture.
Yeah. Okay.
2090. Those cute
2090?
Little, yes.
Okay, good. Not
cute
290?
Little bear things couldn't eat anything. They're so cute. Ooh, it's on the
first. Still Jedi. Okay,
I wasn't sure. It is on the first page of the Return of the Jedi.
Okay, still Jedi.
Where did Luke Skywalker go to study the Force before his mission to rescue Han Solo? A. Dagobah. B. Tatooine. C. Dantooine. Or C. Coruscant.
It's not going to be Dagobah. You think it's Dagobah, but it's not. This is a book thing. I think it's Tatooine is going to be the answer in this, if they're basing it after the radio drama, is my basis.
You so Tatooine. Thought this through.
Yeah.
B. Well,
it's trivia. Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll end it there on a friendly tie. 1-1. Or,
no,
yeah, 1-1.
2-1.
2-1.
Oh, wait, you, no, no, no. You, yeah, you okay, watched 1-1.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Apparently, it's not such a friendly tie.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to, we got, this is our last character clip, but we got a couple things after this, but I'll give you, I know you know who this is. We've talked about him before.
That is Salacious Crumb.
That is Salacious Crumb, yes. And you remember who and what he is, or at least from the movie's perspective, right?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so here is, this is a little bit about what his role was in Jabba's court. This is from episode 39, our episode about Salacious Crumb.
I read that he was almost like he had like a hand buzzer on his hand, would shake hands as a prankster. He like had like the whoopee cushions, put them under people's seats as a prankster. But he was going to eat Jabba's food. Jabba got pissed. The monkey ran away and spilled it on Bib Fortuna. Jabba laughed and kept him as a pet because he made him laugh.
Seriously. That's the story?
That's the story.
Wow.
That's kind of the story.
Yeah. Or not.
No. And then it was part of the deal, something about that he had to make Jabba laugh once a day, and he would live.
Seriously?
If he didn't make him laugh, he would eat him.
Oh, that part I believe, actually.
But how the hell would Jabba catch him?
Well, he has one of his minions do
it. Yeah.
All right.
Surely not a Gamorrean guard. They couldn't catch him.
Exactly.
Maybe it was a man-a-man. He rolled up into a ball. Well, that's cool. I like that. That's awesome. Was that in a book or something?
It's right on Wikipedia.
But where did it come from? Did it come from them, or like was it in a backstory? Because I really like that. I like the idea of not only he's not just a pet. He has a duty to fulfill, and if he doesn't do it, he's gonna be eaten.
But the whole time we didn't even see him make Jabba laugh. But right,
that's a good point.
Yeah, Crumb. He. Chris sort of gave the quick story for him, but Crumb started out as kind of a well, I'm just going to fill in a few of the blanks.
Oh, okay.
Crumb, he started out, he found his way. He was kind of like a rat. He was a pest. He found his way onto a ship that eventually went up to a space station, and he was sort of living on this space station as a pest, like hiding in corners and in walls and things. And he eventually stowed away on a ship. You know, he wasn't really thinking getting on the ship is going to get him off. He was just sort of on the ship that was one of Jabba's ships. So that's how he got to Jabba's palace. They came down to Jabba's palace. He got out of the ship, and then he became a pest in Jabba's court. And as Chris said, Jabba caught him trying to eat his food. So, he runs away. Jabba wants to try to eat. Tries to eat him. That was his initial punishment, but he made him laugh because he spilled stuff on the other guys. And as Chris said, his job is he had to amuse Jabba once a day, or he was going to die. Once a day, he had to amuse him.
So he's more like a court jester than a pet.
Yes,
yeah.
That's his actual official position. He is like a court jester. And if you look at him, he's got a little bit of a jester look. You know, like jesters have those.
Yeah.
Things around their necks, you know,
and the hat has those like big ear bells hanging off of it.
Yeah.
Like the Harley Quinn hat, like it goes from side to side, like that kind of thing.
So he does look kind of like what we stereotypically think of a court jester to look like.
Well, that's cool. And I love how Bib Fortuna is just like the foil.
Yeah.
This like he is just such a bitch.
He's a stooge. You know what I mean? Like people carry a ladder and they turn and they hit Bib Fortuna in the head. You know what I mean? Beep, 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 beep. Bib Fortuna shovel.
But Crumb was basically the bane of everyone's existence that lived in the in Jabba's court, because he was constantly playing jokes on him to amuse Jabba. So he'd go up to someone and you know, light a match and put it under, you know, F-on Man's ass to, just to burn his ass to watch F-on Man. Oh, and then he'd run away. Yeah. And then he'd come up and hide on Jabba.
Yeah, then he would take a nap, watch his tail move.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a funny creature, I think. You know, he's really interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to see a fan film on just like what a pain in the ass he is. Just like he's like shits in the middle of the floor and somebody falls on his salacious.
It's always Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
he's like Mr. Roper or something. He's always getting, you know, what's going on here?
Mr. Roper.
Mr. Roper, man.
All right, we got one more clip. But before we get to that, I did mention way earlier in our first break about the Artmore project, and that we have something we just launched where people can get involved apart from being artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I am going to let's play that now before we get to our last clip. So here is a way you can get involved and help out the Artmore project.
The Star Wars in Character episode Donate for Dengar, benefiting the Mandalorian Artmore project, presented by the Star Wars in Character podcast. So far, the Artmore Project has brought together 60 Star Wars artists, fans, podcasters, and fan community pioneers, each recreating the iconic Mandalorian armor into one-of-a-kind works of art. All artworks will be auctioned off as part of the Star Wars in Character 2013 Star Wars Toy Drive for the Philadelphia area Toys for Tots. Now, with a $5 donation to the Artmore Project, you'll receive a special thank you gift, a special episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast featuring the bounty hunter, Dengar.
This is an awesome story. I'm like leaning in with your Dave's every word on this.
The backstory of one of the Empire Strikes Back's most memorable obscure characters.
So if you're like me and you want to know why he looks the way he looks.
This is a cool part of the story. Good.
Here you go.
I'm looking forward to this.
There's a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Details and stories never seen in the movies.
Next time you're watching The Empire Strikes Back, during that scene when they're shooting those out, picture Dengar out there all excited that he's going to go get close to Han Solo just as they're all leaving and his ship gets hit by one of the blasts.
Oh, fiddlesticks!
Learn new information that leads to new questions.
Is there no quick way to die on Tatooine? I mean, this sounds like this valley chips you to death very slowly. It digests for 1,000 years in the Sarlacc pit. Can't you just get killed on Tatooine to get it over with?
No, it's in their charter.
No one shall die in less than 2 weeks.
And a character discussion you've come to expect from the Star Wars in Character podcast.
That should be edited now.
When Chris starts giving editing notes, that's, you know, you'd said something pretty inappropriate.
True.
This episode has it all. Trivia, a dramatic reading, and of course, singing.
Manaru.
Oh, jeez.
Manaru.
Nobody gets that reference.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
What's that say for you?
Donate just $5 to the Artmore Project and download the episode that's guaranteed to leave a lasting impression.
Everybody who listens to this podcast, their internal voice for Dengar is shot.
But that's not all. Make a donation of $10 and get the Biggs deal. As a thank you for your donation, you'll get the Dengar episode and a digital copy of our 2013 convention promotion episode, Biggs Darklighter. This special episode uncovers the history of the infamous Imperial pilot turned rebel.
Biggs, he's called Biggs for a reason. That's all I'm saying.
It's his first name.
They're best friends.
That's good. That's good, man.
From his defection from the Empire to his ace piloting skills with the Alliance.
He had a signature move. He would spin his X-Wing in a circle, firing all four cannons at once, and he would be able to destroy multiple targets. Yeah. That was called a Darklighter spin.
Clever name.
A special trivia round and celebrity encounter stories.
Biggs was played by Garrick Hagen. Ooh. Now, I know at least three of the four of us have met him. Matt, have you?
No.
I love that.
The Biggs deal. Our thanks for your donation of $10 to the Artmore Project. And last but not least, as a thank you for a donation of $20 or more to the Artmore Project, we give you the entire exclusive galaxy. Every exclusive episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast recorded in the past 2 years. Our 2012 convention episode, Ponda Baba. The Indiegogo campaign episode on Bib Fortuna. The Star Wars Celebration 6 panel attendance gift episode, Jango Fett. Dengar and Biggs Darklighter. And the 2012 Star Wars in Character Christmas Spectacular Edition with separate song tracks, production rehearsal recordings, outtakes, and an extended behind-the-scenes recording of the creation of the Christmas Spectacular. Each episode is available to download digitally with instant access after the donation is processed. To donate or learn more, visit our website at swic.newsaz.com/donate. All donations will be used to fund the ArtMart project and help the Star Wars fan community make this project one of the most successful charity events of 2013. The Star Wars and Character Podcast thanks you for listening and thanks everyone for their support in this exciting new project.
All right, we're at our last clip for this best of episode, and this is also from episode 39, the Salacious Crumb episode. Mm-hmm. Now, do you? I know you like Salacious Crumb, and I think mainly because he's very Muppet-like, and you certainly like Muppets.
Yeah.
You're host of the Muppets and Character podcast, but do you like his voice? I mean, we only hear him cackle, but he. Do you like the way he sounds?
That's the funniest thing.
Okay, cool. That's cool, because I asked that because this clip we have from that same episode is that Chris had the opportunity to talk to the voice artist of Salacious Crumb. His name is Mark Dodson. He's a voice actor. He was at a Pittsburgh convention. We took a shot of contacting him. He was very gracious in letting us take time with him. Chris interviewing him. Chris said he was a fantastic, nice guy. Was really happy to meet him. And the interview is really good. Again, this is another clip that I could have put the whole thing in, but it's pretty long. And I don't mean long in a bad way. It's a good long. It's something I really encourage people to listen to. It's a fun interview. So what I had to do was narrow it down to what was my favorite answer to one of Chris's questions. So here is just a little bit of that interview of Chris with the Salacious Crumb voice actor, Mark Dodson.
I know for a fact that this next question you never heard, and you will probably never hear it again. Okay. All right. This is a really awesome question, though. All right. We were wondering for our podcast. I want to hear your take on it. After Salacious Crumb has ripped 3PO's eyes out of his socket, R2 comes over and zaps him. Okay? Salacious Crumb looks down at them and says something, and it almost appears like he's cursing at them. What do you think he's saying?
Well, it would depend on what part of the... When Ben was directing me, but I believe that was where he was telling me that... That the giant has caught me stealing some of his food. And so I think pretty much what I was just saying was to let me go. And I was screaming, you know, in. So I was like, you know, is that kind of okay? So what I was thinking when I was saying it was, you know, let me go, I'm scared, that kind of thing.
I was hoping for some kind of, like, Star Wars curse word.
Let me go, you bastard.
I will take that. Okay. I will take that.
All right, so that's my favorite answer. Maybe the only one where he curses and it might be my favorite, but...
I guess so.
Well, you made it through, the best of.
I survived.
Now, having heard all those clips, have we turned into a regular listener yet?
I will be a regular listener of the next clip show.
Okay. All right. Well, we can at least be comforted in the fact that we will continue to hear you on every episode, at least for the next 100 episodes.
I'm pre-recorded. So. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, with that, I want to thank everyone for listening. Join us for our upcoming 100th episode. It's going to be something we've never done before. We're really excited to do. We're excited to talk to everyone that wants to participate. Check our Facebook for the date and time. That is facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. If you want to learn more about the Artmore Project, there's a Facebook page for that as well. That is facebook.com/ArtmoreProject. And Artmore is spelled ArtMor. Well, with that, I want to thank everyone that checked out this best of episode, no matter how you checked it out. If you're listening to this on our regular iTunes feed and you're not a member of our Facebook page and did not see that we announced there's an accompanying video to this, there's a video for this on our new YouTube channel. And you can find this and our other videos by searching for NeoZaz Vids on YouTube. If you happen to stumble on this on YouTube and didn't realize there's another 99 regular episodes and a total of 127 episodes behind this one, check us out on iTunes by searching for Star Wars and Character on iTunes. Our Facebook page, as I said several times before, is facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. And if you want to learn more about the Artmore Project, that has a Facebook page as well. That is facebook.com/ArtmoreProject. And Artmore is spelled ArtMor. Oh, with that, I also wanted to take a moment to thank my co-host for this episode from NeoZaz.com's podcast, The Great 80s, The Great 80s Movie Debate, Muppets in Character, and who knows what else in the future. Possibly some more videos for this and for NeoZaz. Christy.
Bye, thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you want to take us out in this episode, get the end credits rolling in the way you have 99 times before?
Okay, so you've been watching Star Wars in Character. Thanks for watching or listening or whatever you're doing.
Yes, that is proof right there. You've never listened to the episodes. They're nowhere close to the thing you said 99 times before.
Eh.
That's okay. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening and join us on the 100th episode.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.